Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, Millionaire Mindcast fam? I got a great show for you guys today. If you have not texted me yet, be sure to hit me up at 844-447-1555. Whether it is let me know a guest that you want me to interview, a question you want me to ask, or you just want to say what up, and we haven't had a chance to connect yet, you can text me at 844-447-1555. Yes, I do answer all of the texts. It's been amazing getting to connect with so many of you all around the world. If you're new to the show and you haven't entered our monthly giveaway of over $1,200 worth of prizes. Each and every month, we pick one person. You can do that at go.millionairemindcast.com. I know many of you are millennials. You work with millennials. You have kids. And I don't know about you, but the world that we now live in is changing so rapidly. And understanding how to navigate that world and to coincide and to collaborate and to really work hand in hand with the future generations is going to be extremely key to, one, achieving your goals in business, as well as helping other individuals achieve their goals at the highest level. And my guest today, Matt Beaudreau, a buddy of mine, is one of the nation's most in-demand speakers on the topic of bridging the generational divide and how big corporations, as well as small businesses, as well as charities, can really understand the younger generations and how to empower them, how to equip them, how to help them navigate the challenges and the things that they are up against. And one of the big things that Matt is an expert on is the education system. And what we talk about in today's episode is kind of how he is disrupting the education system. He's also a founder of Acton Academy in Placer, which is an entrepreneurial school for K all the way up through 12 and high schoolers. And he is somebody that is extremely engulfed into the culture of the millennial.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process. And in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
And the Gen Zs and the younger generations as well. And, you know, we talked a lot about some of the fears that he has for these upcoming generations, some of the things that they are crushing it at and doing so much better than many of us are. We talked about how people can overcome being entitled, how, you know, you can really, the number one question that I think, you know, yes, the young generations have, but really I hear so many people in general have is, how do I find my purpose? You know, how do I find my passion? And the way he broke it down and shared what he shared in today's episode, I think you're really going to enjoy. Also, one of the big challenges is, you know, when do you go wide and when do you go narrow? When do you try a bunch of things and when do you double down and focus on one thing? Because there are some seasons that may lead you to doing one or the other, or at least give you permission to do one or the other. So he had some great insights on that. He definitely had some strong messages to parents, to individuals who work with kids or are raising kids, and how to empower them to go out and be successful in today's landscape, how to navigate and use social media, all very, very, very important and relevant topics, whether you are in business and building business and navigating those things with your employees, or just in general, when you are around those individuals and how you can add value and empower them moving forward. So some really great stuff covered in today's episode. Important topics like depression and suicide and criticism and self-doubt, college versus no college. Really doesn't matter if you are a millennial or a Gen Z or a younger generation or not. These are things that are going to be important for you to know so you can best equip yourself with the leadership skills to go out and empower these people, to collaborate with these young people, and to go out and help these young people succeed at a really high level. So we got some great content in today's interview. Again, if we're not connected yet on social media, of course, you can follow me at Official Matty A on Instagram, or text me and say what up, 844-447-1555. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's continue this march to a million and beyond right after this quick message. Are you ready to quit talking about your real estate investing goals this year and start taking the necessary actions to make them a reality? If you're truly serious about leveraging the vehicle of real estate to build wealth, to generate passive income, to unlock financial freedom, then working with a coach is the missing link. If you want to avoid the mistakes that most people make, you want to accelerate getting the results, you want to shorten your learning curve without having to figure it all out on your own, then sign up for a free discovery call with me today to discuss how I can help you getting there. You can do that by texting the word mentor to 844-447-1555 to set up a call time directly with me. I will be working with a few committed investors, serious investors who are ready to take their real estate investing goals to the next level this year by giving them complete access to myself, my team, my network, my resources, and all of my business systems. And if this is something that you are interested in, don't wait. Set up a call today. Text the word mentor to 844-447-1555. I'm excited to welcome into the show today my brother, Matt Boudreau.
Look at you saying it all pretty. Yeah, man.
I had to say it right, you know? Yeah, everybody screws my name up, so I'm like, if somebody gets it right, I'm usually like, oh, okay, all right, I see you.
Oh, if somebody gets even close, like I get Boudreau, I get, you know, like they're introducing me in front of thousands of people, and so I'm like, yeah, cool, I'll just shake my head yes. Yeah, yep. Sounds good.
So I love it, man.
It's funny, man. It's a pleasure, brother.
Dude, it's always like anytime we get together, we always have great conversation.
Absolutely.
So for those that don't know who you are and what you do, obviously they heard a little bit of the intro before we jumped into our interview here today, but how do you describe what you do?
Man, it's a tough question. So I always tell people, look, I wear a couple of different hats. I'm a keynote speaker by trade. So I get up in front of thousands of people and get paid to run my mouth. And I get to do that for Fortune 500s around the world. Right. And I've gotten to do that.
You're damn good at it.
So I appreciate that. So, and that's, so business has been good, and that's been, you know, 50 to 60 keynotes a year for the last 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
I've spoken to over probably 250,000 people. So that's been my job, and I enjoy that. I do. I love it. I get some great insight from leaders around the world. I mean, it's fantastic, but, what I really do is, you know, the president and founder of Acton Academy Placer. And that's my day to day. So if I'm not on the road, I am there, on our campus and helping these K-12 heroes just go out and crush.
I love how you say that, K-12 heroes. I'm a big believer in our youth and investing in our youth and leading our youth. And you're on the front lines of that. And I know many people who listen to the Millionaire Mindcast are active entrepreneurs. They have kids who want to be entrepreneurs, or maybe they want that for their kids.
For sure.
And I know you're in the trenches every day. You see it at a really high level. First and foremost, someone like you who is an entrepreneur by trade,
right?
It's part of your DNA.
For sure.
What was it that led you to this transition of going, I'm going to be a you know, a principal, a president of
these
future leaders? That's
a really good question. So I've been super blessed with my background. I think there are so many, you know, I've got that, there's a DNA component that goes into that, but I have so many things that lined up to put me in this position. So, you know, working first actually was at Stanford University and working, you know, with directly with the university level students as they're coming in those families and kind of seeing both paths take place there, where I started to realize, man, I'm actually really good at this speaking thing and helping. And I love connecting with people. I'm really interested in education. And so that set me off on this path. So I was in education as a public school teacher, as a public school administrator, as a private school teacher, as a private school administrator. I was there. I was in the trenches with those kids and with those parents on the day-to-day basis. And it was that both launched my speaking career, oddly enough, but it also was, as I started to have my own kids, I'm going, okay, well, I see it's obvious to me, the disconnect. Mm-hmm. The disconnect between what we're doing at school and saying we want to see from these kids versus the real world and what we actually need them to have locked down. To me, it was just so blatantly obvious, and it was a drive for my own. You know, I kept trying in the boxes that I was in to try to make it happen, and it was just clear to me there were so many obstacles. I'm like, well, I need to get out of this box and just create my own box, especially for my kids. You know, so it was being in the trenches, man. It was being in education going, dude, I got to change this, and I know how to change this. Mm-hmm. And then I was lucky enough to find a group of other entrepreneurs around the world, you know, in this Acton network that were saying the same thing.
So what is the Acton network?
So it truly is a global network, man. And it's people like myself around the world. So we're in, close to probably 30 countries.
Wow. I didn't know you guys were that big.
Yep. And there's, so fall of 2021, right now we're going to be sitting at about 300 locations. And those locations, there's a range, right? There's some people that are in, you know, Texas, and they're going, hey, I want 20 kids, man. That's it. Three of them are mine. I want 20. I want to keep this small, very intentional. Like, that's it. And then there's some people that are a little more on the crazy side, like myself, that are like, yeah, that's awesome. Great.
Let's go as big as we can.
But dude, we're going to go big because we're actually going to be pushing this revolution, you know, strong. We're going to be pushing this hard. I want to, you know, I've got the biggest location out of all the in the entire network right now. And we've got more campuses that are coming here to this area. And I can't have it any other way, because I truly want this for everybody, right? So the network really is, it's all of these entrepreneurs who said, look, education should look different, and education and school are vastly different. So let's start getting our kids an education versus building another school.
And what do you, so again, you guys are taking a stance, mm-hmm. I don't want to say against education, but you have a belief system that it can be done differently. What is the Acton mission? What's the Acton kind of revolution?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things we say is our promises to our heroes is that they're going to be able to find a calling to change the world, right? So we truly believe every single human being has genius in them. You know, John Taylor Gatto said it best. He said, genius, I've come to find, is as common as dirt. It really is. Mm-hmm. And what happens is then, you know, we've got these young geniuses, we're raising them, and then we send them to school, and school goes, cool, you're going to do the same thing as you because you're both 5, and you're going to do the same thing as you because you're both 7. And by the way, it's the same thing your parents did and your grandparents did. Who cares that you can Google that right now? Who cares that the world is changing? We're not changing school, you know? And so that's really our pushback, as we're going, man, the world is changing so rapidly right now. And we're really concerned with kids knowing algebra at the right time. Like, there's just a massive disconnect. And then we see all the social fallout that happens, you know, with all that stuff too. So the Acton mission is to really equip these young heroes with the self-confidence, the self-awareness. And self-confidence comes from actually having done some things, right? So we say they learn to do and learn to be way before they learn to know. Mm. I can Google something in 30 seconds, then me sitting there and having somebody lecture it at me and barfing it back to them on a test we're wasting our time.
Yeah.
So self-confidence from actually getting their hands dirty and making something happen and failing along the way, that's fine. That's part of the process. But learning to be too, you have a self-awareness. Who am I? Where do I fit in all this? What are my strengths? What is my genius? And how can I use that with the information that I have? How can I go obtain more information? How do I transform that information and go bring it out to the world and create value? You know, and people are like, oh God, that's a complicated thing. And it's not complicated. Work hard and be nice. Mm. work hard and be nice. And, you know, those are the two main things. And then be adaptable. Be willing to unlearn, right? We're so worried about learning all these facts. Be willing to learn how to unlearn. You know, you and I are sitting here talking on these things that didn't exist years ago. We've got these freaking computers in our pocket that didn't exist years ago that are going to be as good as a pager in 10 years.
Yep. That's such a great point of being able to learn and unlearn to be able to get.
You have to.
To that next level and continue to evolve, right? Because
everything else is.
Yeah, that's so true.
Everything else is.
That's so true.
So why aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, why aren't we? Why aren't we putting ourselves in the mental position to do that where, look, change is inevitable and I'm comfortable with that because I know I can figure out how to change as well and still provide value. I can provide value today. In 10 years, something looks different. I can provide value then too. Mm. You know, as I work with these organizations around the world, the biggest reason I get brought in is because there's people there who don't like change. And so they see the world at, you know, 60 years old from their lens, their point of view, how they grew up. They've got these 25-year-olds that are coming in who've seen a vastly different world, so they have a different point of view. Neither side wants to change to try to see the other's point of view, and nobody wants to change to adapt to what the future is. Companies are going, no, we've always done it this way, and this has been effective, right? And so people don't like change.
Yeah.
We want our kids comfortable and understanding that's just part of the process, and I'm okay with that. I can adapt and provide value no matter what.
Right. And as you go into a lot of these organizations, I know you're using a lot of your day-to-day experiences go in there and kind of plant some seeds of what these future generations are equipped with in regards to strengths, but also some of the things that they may be struggling with or challenged by that these organizations can help bridge that gap on. What are some of the things that we could start with, you know, fears you have for the upcoming generations, being that you're working with them so closely?
Yeah, that's really good. So the fears that I have for them is that they will fall into the stereotype of the entitled youngster.
Because that stereotype is rampant, at least from older generations,
for
sure.
And it's always been rampant, right? Like it's always been. Look, if you're older than me, you live in the past. If you're younger, you suck. Like it's all my generation has it figured out, right? Like it's always been like that, dude, for sure. But there's a couple of things that are actually kind of making, you know, there's kind of this generational split that we see taking place, and it's helping some of this come to fruition, man. We got cheap mobile technology now that everybody's got, to where we start, you know, comparing ourselves to these other people. Sometimes, you know, you can get in that trap, obviously, which gives you this weird sense of entitlement, but then parents as well. So my biggest fear for them is this entitlement, which I'm quick to say, hey, by the way, that's not always their fault. There's parenting issues with that too.
100%.
We're creating those entitled youngsters, right? We want them. We don't want them to fail. I'm going to go in and take care and make sure that, you know, we have play dates rather than they get to go out and play. And I'm going to make sure that I monitor every single thing they do. And if they sneeze, oh my God, honey, come on in. And I'm going to pat your butt and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go, you're 18 and you're going, I'm going to go to your interview with you. And we, like, we see these things taking place.
Yeah.
Right. So we've kind of babified these younger kids, you know? And so, that's one of the biggest things that I see is I would say I'm afraid of for them, you know, is getting.
And it seems like though, what you guys are doing is creating this sense of autonomy, independence.
Bingo.
I mean, well, I guess that leads to how do upcoming generations. And again, there's millennials my age that are in their 30s that are kind of feeling some of those pains right now too. If the second place gets a trophy award and you're entitled to a pat on the back just because you participated.
Just because you're here. Yeah.
What's your opinion on how do people acknowledge that and make sure that they don't fall victim to that or overcome it?
Yeah. I think the two biggest drivers of that are technology and school. I mean, I really do. Those are the two biggest. So I think we have to be intentional there about battling both of those.
Yeah.
Right. So we got to be intentional about utilizing technology for the tool that it is. What is the outcome that we want? So if we want somebody who's not entitled, we want somebody that's going to, you know, work hard, treat people well, understand they're not entitled to something just because congratulations, you graduated college. Like at this point, that essentially means you're 22 and you didn't die yet. Like, good for you.
And you have a shitload of debt.
And you've got debt out the yazoo. Exactly, man. So we've got to get out of that whole conversation. We got to realize, look, you need to work for it. You need to earn it. We got to have those conversations, but we need to have, intentionality around who we're following on these social media platforms, because it comes down to who's pouring into your head.
Right.
Right. You're always being brainwashed. So who's doing the brainwashing?
Yeah.
And the parents need to instill that early on as well and go, look, I'm not going to handle your stuff for you. You are responsible for this. And I'm actually going to hold you accountable to your responsibilities, whether that's chores, whether that's school, whatever that is. I'm not going to give you this free pass and tell you everything's okay all the time. I'm going to tell you I expect you to be responsible. It's really, though, if we can get everybody on the same page as far as social media using as a tool, getting parents to say that kind of stuff and getting them in schools that are willing to say that as well, we're going to alleviate a lot of these issues. The problem is even schools, they're more and more handcuffed. They're going, look, everything trickles down from academia, right? As long as you have, are your reading level and your grade level and all this, which by the way, are terms that don't mean anything. They don't exist. As long as you're there, life's going to work out okay. We're sending the wrong message. And so then you got these kids that are just completely broken inside, but cool, they can tell you the Pythagorean theorem. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, seriously.
Who cares? We got to take that message to all the relevant platforms that are pouring into our kids.
I look at you as, you know, someone that is a role model and an influencer and a leader in many platforms, but especially how you parent your kids.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the messages that you're giving your kids right now?
Yeah. I love that question, man, because obviously I'm talking about my favorite people too. So we've got family rules at home. We've got the Boudreaux. The essential 11, really. So we got the Boudreaux family rules, right? These 11 rules that we've come up together as a family, and they are hanging on our wall.
So cool.
Right. And we refer back to those. That is our contract together as a family. And that means I'm able to hold them to that contract, being my wife, my kids. Equally, they are able to hold me to that contract. If I start straying, my six-year-old can say, Dad, look, rule number 9, discipline equals freedom. Like, that's part of it, Dad. You're not being disciplined around this right now. You need to get on it, and I will take that.
Yeah.
All right, so we have that set of rules, that set of strategies in our house, and we just hold ourselves to those. I look at them like they are just genuinely part of my adult team, and I've always treated them that way, and they behave accordingly. I don't have to discipline my kids. I've created disciplined individuals. They understand how to make good decisions. And that's one thing too, as parents, we're screwing up. We're all about, look, kids need to know how to make decisions. So we need to let them make decisions early. I agree. But what we're doing is we're saying, hey, Johnny, what do you want to do? And then we're just going with it rather than saying, no, look, I'm gonna let you make a decision. Here's good decision A, good decision B, good decision C. You can choose out of those. The reason we're not doing D through Z is because this would be the consequence. This would be the consequence. We've got to show them what good decisions are. The whole idea of the sovereignty of a five-year-old is crazy. And we've gone back and forth. So we got parents that want to control every minute, which is nuts. And then parents that are like, no, my kid's 5. And whatever they want to do. No, both of those are a hot mess. You know, so we're meeting them in the middle going, look, we're going to teach you how to make decisions. We're going to let you start making decisions and get the consequences, good or bad, of those decisions. But we're going to guide you on what good ones are in the process.
I love that you guys, we do this as well, mm-hmm. where we have our HSN core family values.
Yep.
And it's great because, and this can apply to any entrepreneur in regards to business as well.
For sure.
The way we have core values in our business, we have core values in our family. It's a standard, right? It's a bar. It's a belief system. It's guardrails to know when you're in alignment or out of alignment with those things. And it was so cool the other day.
Bingo.
I've been going over these things with Ella and the girls and EBC. Yeah. You know, she doesn't know. She's like, sure, what the hell is
she
talking
about? Sure. But you know what? You guys talking about it, she's going to get it. And she'll get it way before you realize she will.
Absolutely. Yep. And so that was one of the things that, you know, as we have gotten more in terms of disciplining and course correcting and rewarding and just in general communicating around those values and standards and that conversation and that narrative. It's funny, the other day Marie and I were getting into a little tiff and my voice was getting a little heightened and Marie's getting a little heightened and one of our family core values is respect. We treat and talk to others with love, respect, kindness, and respect.
Yep.
And so Ella, she pumped both of us.
Beautiful.
She was like, Mom, Dad, you're not talking with respect to each other. We're like, we're doing something right here.
Beautiful. And then the thing is, once you respond to that,
yep,
right,
yeah,
then it starts to be ingrained in her. Wait a second. No, this is that's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's serious. You know, because you guys are responding to what she said. So she's not gaining the, oh, I have power over mom and dad. She's saying, no, mom and dad actually mean what they say. They're actually living that out. You know, one of the things I tell parents, your kids will do what you do way before they ever do what you say.
Ooh, I like that one.
And you've got to remember that. So if you're saying this is our core value and you're not living it, it's not your core value. And they're going to see that early.
Yeah.
They will get that.
I was at the GoBundance event.
Yeah. Yep.
And they brought in Dr. Kelly Flanagan.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
I don't know.
He wrote a book called Lovable. He wrote an article to his daughter. He was, I think, buying makeup like in the store for his wife.
Okay.
He had a 4-year-old daughter at the time, and he saw all this propaganda of like, you're not beautiful unless you have makeup on, basically.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
not worthy of being called sexy or this or
right.
that. Right. And all these kind of, and he was like, man, like, is that really the world that my daughter's going to grow up in? So he literally sat down in the aisle of this Rite Aid store.
Yep.
And he wrote out this article, and he's a therapist and a psychologist.
Okay.
And he wrote an article to his daughter about being good enough and beautiful enough and worthy of love and, you know, basically to kind of combat all of these marketing messages.
Yeah.
And he went viral, went like hundreds of millions of, you know, shares and
sure,
downloads
sure.
and reads. So he came in and he was talking about all of these things. But one of the things that he said to me, which is in line with what we're talking about, is kids don't need perfect parents. They need parents who know they're not perfect and can own it.
Totally.
And I think that's whether
totally.
You're a leader in a company, in a business,
totally.
This idea of this top-down hierarchy, and it is what it is, and I say it is, and it is that, it's not conducive to, I think, the type of leadership and environment and space.
For sure.
And in culture, whether it's in your family, at Acton
or
Academy,
in
or in your
yeah.
business
yeah.
that you want to create,
yeah.
right?
I mean, ultimately, you can get people to, if you're in that position of authority, sure, you can get people to do what you want them to do, but that's short term.
Just positional leadership.
It's just positional leadership, man. And you've just created now some sort of contention, and you've created an element of fear, you know, that, and that's never going to create a bond. It's never going to create a relationship that is actually going to be effective. It's actually going to change that person from the inside and actually, you know, take on those actions voluntarily that we want them to do. I mean, that's, yeah, you're eliminating all of the strength in any bond with mm-hmm. that. You've got to, yeah, the positional leadership is garbage as a parent as well. Yes, you get to make the final shot, but that's, you do it in a relationship kind of way. You do, I love what you said, you overemphasize the good solid traits that you want to see, right? There's another thing where we're saying that don't reward your kid. There's a faction of people that are saying don't reward your kid. Don't tell them they did a good job because then they won't be intrinsically motivated. That's garbage.
Right.
When my little boy goes up and somebody comes on campus.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
And he he's three or just turned four last weekend, and he walks up and says, "Hi, I'm Loudon, nice to meet you," and shakes their hand. You better believe, dude, I take him to the side. I'm like, yes, that's it. That's what a man does. I love that, right? And I'm going to overemphasize that, right, so that he gets that in his head. He doesn't have to know why yet. He'll get it later.
Yep.
But none of that happens if I'm like, dude, you better get out there and shake that guy's hand.
Right.
Because then it's a fear thing. And then it's, you know, it's just a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, that's the positional authority, man, drives me nuts.
He talked about a couple of those things that are in line with that too, of kind of like calling someone up instead of calling someone out. Yes. And like beating them down of, why didn't you do that? And this culture that we live in of shaming people, whether it's in the workplace, sure, whether it's at home, in a relationship, whatever it may be, versus calling someone up.
For sure.
And this idea of, you know, just leadership. And there can be discipline, but you can also incorporate in the delight and the other, you know, there's this happy medium, right? And I see a lot of the stuff, what you guys are doing in Acton and in your businesses, yep, and with the platform that you're building.
Yep.
What are some of the things that you really see the youth doing,
yeah,
that other generations maybe need to pay a little bit more attention to?
Oh, that's a really good question, man. I love that. The youth that we're seeing right now, they are naturally more adaptable right now. Mm. I mean, they are, because they're already seeing change happen so much in their young lives.
Because it's all they know.
It's all they know.
Right, right.
Right. So they understand that is one of the biggest qualities that they've got right now, is that change doesn't scare them as much as it does other people. They're really okay with that. And that is such a superpower. If we will allow them to continue to live in that, right, and to continue to harvest that, they're much more pragmatic right now than we give them credit for, which is neat. It's kind of a throwback. They're a really kind of a throwback generation in that way, and they're very global minded. And I don't mean global minded just in the fact that they're connected, because they are. You know, I really believe my, you know, 9-year old is probably right now more similar to a 9-year old in India than she is her own grandmother, who she sees,
right,
on a weekly basis, you, yeah, know. But there's an awareness and a desire to do good in the world, more so than any other generation. They've always had this, like, you know, we go back to the greatest generation, right? We talk about that Great Depression and the World War II generation.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the millennials. Sorry.
Sorry about that. It depends on who we're talking to, I guess, for sure. You know, we talk about that generation, and it was their loyalty, their desire to do the right thing, right? They definitely had that, but it was much more on a national scale. What I see with this younger generation is they're looking at things globally and say, no, we want, what is the mission globally? How do we impact all humans? You know, which I think no generation has really had that kind of outlook, which is exciting.
Yeah.
It really is.
What do you think about, I get this question all the time,
yeah,
and it's, you know, I'm getting more and more young listeners. Shout out to all my young listeners, awesome, you know, under 20, 21.
Good.
I mean, I've had 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds that are reaching out. And I've also had 30 and 40 and 50-year-olds ask the same question. So yeah, I think this is something you can speak to from really all generations and, yeah, and age demographics, is when someone, you know, this idea, and Simon Sinek talks a lot about,
yeah,
like, my mission and my purpose,
yeah,
in life, and, yeah, how do I find that? And I'm sure, right, you probably get a lot of the youngsters that you work with that are entrepreneurial minded, but maybe they're like, oh, where do I go? I don't know what path,
sure,
I should take.
For sure.
What do you say to them?
Yeah, do something.
Do something.
Do something. So here's the deal. So it's so funny. You're talking about finding the purpose and all this, and we're getting from all these. Yes, I get it from our students all the time. I get it from the parents who are going, how are we going to help them find stuff? You know, but I also get it from my clients, man. I'll be on, I've been on private planes with individuals who own that plane because they have this position within this organization. A lot of times it's their company, and they're 50, 60 years old, and they're crying.
They're asking the same
question. And they're saying, man, I've missed the boat. You know, by all intents and purposes, everybody's like, oh man, you're so successful. They're going, man, I am miserable. I missed it. I'm figuring myself out. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why Acton exists, is so we don't have those situations. We want to put guys like Tony Robbins out of a business because you don't have to fix adults anymore.
I love it.
Because we got these kids, right? So yep, what I tell them is like, dude, go try something. Just do. you won't figure things out until you taste it. I love the way Gary Vaynerchuk puts it. He's like, you know, you don't know what your favorite food is unless you go taste a bunch of food, right? Otherwise, you're stuck on these five random arbitrary foods and you're like, I guess my favorite one is this, even though I don't really like it.
Yep.
It's the same thing. Go try things. So we design these quests. We design these opportunities to just dive into different industries, different platforms. We want you to go take an internship somewhere you think might be interesting. And if that turns out, you're like, wait, I actually hate that industry. Awesome. Cool. That's a great thing to know. Mm-hmm. Check it off. You don't go down the road too far. You know, you don't go to college for it and get yourself into all kinds of debt and then come out going, crap, I actually really, really hate this. Try as many things as possible. Every 6 weeks, these kids have a new project to take on. Never mind just the conversations they're having. They're diving into different pieces of history and taking on different, you know, mindsets of world leaders and trying to figure themselves out that way. They're actually taking on a new project in a completely different field than they've ever seen. You try as many things as possible. That will start to give you the idea of, man, this is where, and that's what we see. We're there looking for patterns, going, look, you know, okay, great. When you were six and you were here, we had these quests here and you took on a very similar kind of role in all of these, even though they were all vastly different projects. So look at what you kind of gravitate to. And by the way, you really like this and you were really good at this. You just start to put together those patterns to actually gain the self-awareness, right? But you have to try. If you just sit there and do nothing, or if you resort back to, I'm just going to take an online class for everything, you're missing the opportunities, you know, and we're still getting people out of that fear-based mindset of like, but college is probably, I just need to take a class. Just give me a class. I don't really like biology, but I'm just going to take a class because this is my requirement. Dude, you're not tasting. You're at this buffet and you're like, but I really, I'm scared to not just have my happy meal. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing with school, is we're giving kids these happy meals. Everybody's got a happy meal. It's crap food. And that's all they're eating. And they've got a smorgasbord of just delicious, all kinds of stuff in front of them. And they're just too afraid to even try it to see what they really, really like.
Yeah. You know? All the people that there's kind of two narratives, right? And I think there's a place and a time for each narrative. And I'm curious on your take in regards to this idea of the one thing and stay in your lane and pound the pavement on that and do that over and over and over and over again versus the smorgasbord of when is it the right time to explore and get context and data to then kind of put it all together and figure out what your one thing is. I had a young 19-year-old ask me this question. Shout out to Tyler, who reached out and he was, you know, I got this and I got that and I got this and I got that and I got that. Right. And it was kind of this chasing, you know, 10 rabbits, pushing 10 wheelbarrows up the hill.
Totally.
Versus, hey, you know, he was making money in one good area, but he wasn't as passionate.
Wasn't digging it.
Yeah. What's your thought on that?
It's going to be different for everybody, but that's why we want to start these kids young so they can start to see it now. Right. Yes. The reason it's different for everybody is because not everybody has the opportunity to taste early on. Mm-hmm. We go through school. Nobody's tasting anything in school. It's the biggest monopoly we have in this country. 90%+ of our kids are there. It's a monopoly. If Amazon had 90% of the business, people would flip. People already flip for the amount that it has in our country, right? Mm-hmm. But if 92% of it was just, I mean, people would go nuts. So we've got this monopoly that's not allowing people to taste. So for some people, starting to taste at 18, 19, I mean, that's really when you're starting. Some people are going to be 30, 40 before they finally get the guts to say, you know what, I've got to go out and just try a number of different things. We want to obviously get that going earlier rather than later, because I do believe in the double down, triple down on your strengths. I absolutely believe that. But you've got to taste a bunch of things first before you can even figure out what the heck those are.
Right.
And some people may be lucky enough, if they start early enough, to really by 12 or 13, man, they really do have it down. Some people are going to be 30 before they go, man, I really do know what I am good at. I was definitely one of those. I was super good at school, but that doesn't translate into anything. You know, so I had my straight A's all the way through school, walked out and was like, cool, I had straight A's. Now what?
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing off the world. I'm good at sports. I'm good at talking to girls. Like, cool. That's only going to get you so far. Guess I'll go to college.
Yeah.
So I go to college and I get my straight A's and I turned down my senior year. I turned down a position at the White House and come out and I was like, cool. Now I don't have a job. I got really good grades in college too. Still pretty good at sports. Probably even better at girls. And now what? you know? And I was stuck again. I had no idea. I hadn't tasted anything. So I was in my 20s before I started going down all of these rabbit holes. And it wasn't until I was in my early 30s where I'm like, man, okay, Now I know. Now I know what drives me. Now I know what I'm really, really good at. There's only two or three things. Mm-hmm. And I am just going to stay right there now. But I wouldn't have known if I hadn't tried a million different things.
Yeah.
And the cool thing with trying a million different things is I also got to know a million different people.
Yeah.
I truly, you know, somebody was talking about the whole six degrees of separation and, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon and all this stuff. I legitimately believe at this point, just because I tasted so many things and always said yes to meeting new people and having those interactions, I'm one or two connections away from all 7.7 billion people on this planet.
Yep.
You know, and I think you were very much the same way.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
I feel the same way of like, I just tell people there's a season for saying yes to everything.
Totally.
And there's a season for saying no to everything.
For sure.
And I think you just need to be like what you said, a key word earlier is awareness, enhanced awareness, being intentional every day to have the routines or the disciplines or the habits that put you in the best position to be more aware,
for sure,
and using the data points that you have available to you to make the next best decision that's most congruent and aligned with the path that you're on, right?
Bingo. That's it. And be patient with that. You need to taste everything, right?
Keyword there.
So be patient with that. And as far as parents, any parents that are listening to this, be patient for your kid. You're building a human being. That is a very long tail game. Even in acting, when people know the long tail game, you know, we got somebody comes in at 5 years old and they're like, yes, we are setting up their minds for the long haul. Like that foundation is just going to be something that they literally will not get anywhere else. And then all of a sudden the kid turns six and they're like, ooh, they're six and they're still struggling reading this. And it's like, relax.
Yeah.
Relax. Yep. This is a long tail game to build a human being. Mm-hmm. Don't stress out about the things that don't actually matter.
Yeah.
We're okay. Let them taste a little bit. Keep that self-confidence going. Like that's, you know, let them learn to set goals at six. They learn to start setting goals and seeing, even if they don't fully grasp what that is, they just get in the habit of doing that. That's something that's going to take them so much further I read this. Nobody
knows.
I don't
remember shit from what I read back in elementary
and I don't remember when I started reading.
No.
It's just like walking.
Yeah.
I don't remember when I started walking. I'll tell you what, I know I was late.
Yeah.
I know I was late. I remember people saying, I remember my mom telling me I was well past a year old, right?
I think you're doing all right now.
And I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I was a good athlete and I was 5'9 and could dunk a basketball and was coordinated. So am I okay there? Nobody looks at me and goes, oh shit, I bet you that dude didn't walk till he's almost two.
Yeah,
what a moron, right? Nobody looks at that.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Who cares if they learned to read really well at 7 versus 10?
Yeah.
Who cares?
So
in the long haul, it doesn't matter.
What is your message to parents or to executive leadership teams that are working with millennials that are going to be working with the youth? What is your message to them?
Stop operating out of fear. Mm. Stop operating. And that is, and that is something that I see universally because it's a human being thing. It's not just a leader in a company thing. It's not just a parenting thing. It is a human being thing that I think has always been there. Right. I really think it has. But many people have always been so worried about somebody else's opinion, whether that is, you know, whoever they've got to report their earnings to, you know, in a leadership position. And we've just got to make sure this looks good to, I got to make sure my mom and dad versus I'm parenting and I want my kid to go to Harvard so that I can show all the parents that my kid goes to Harvard to prove that I'm a good parent, right? Like it's all somebody, you're all, so many people operating out of this fear of somebody else's judgment on them. Get flipping rid of it.
Yep.
Get rid of it and figure out who that is that you're really trying to appease. Mm-hmm. Get that all out of your head. And that's when you're going to be able to start seeing things logically versus emotionally.
Yeah.
People act emotionally. They do not act logically. You know, I can sit down with a parent who's like, hey, I need my kid to, and this is a real conversation recently. I need my kid to make sure they go to college. Cool. Why? Because I need to have him, I need to make sure he's going to get a good job. Okay. We'll stay away from the fact that that's not necessarily a direct translation at all. Anyways, provably college does not equal good job. Provably.
Yeah.
We'll stay away from that altogether. Let's talk about the fact that your son is 18 and just got offered a job that he just started working that he's now making more than most adults in this country right now. Straight out of Acton, he's making more money than most adults in this. He's in the top 10% of earners probably in this country.
Wow.
Right now. But you want him to go to college to get a good job. No, you don't. You want him to go to college so you can tell your friends, so that you can have this weird arbitrary box in your head checked off, whoever it is that you've got to prove you were a good parent to. That's why you want him to go. He's happy in an amazing job right now that actually is going to launch him into an amazing career. If he wants to go to college for some reason, on great. But figure out your disconnect. We think so emotionally because of that fear.
Yep.
Logic just goes out the window.
So who's college meant for?
Almost nobody.
And not.
And I'm going to piss a lot of people Do off
it.
With that.
I like it.
Almost nobody.
College, tell me more.
College is a horrible investment for 99% of people. It just is.
Yep.
Forget the game of getting in. First of all, the admissions process itself is a freaking game. And I came from Stanford. The whole thing is a game. And I tell people that all the time. Like, there's a game. How much money do you have? Are you the right color right now? Where did you come from? In terms of, it's so, like, did you even have to graduate high school? You can go to junior college at 16, play that game for 2 years, do it well, and you can transfer in almost anywhere you want to go, right? It's a game to get admitted. And by the way, if you're wealthy, congratulations. Welcome to Stanford. Welcome to the Ivy League school. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You're a future donor.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All this Lori Loughlin and all that kind of stuff, that's the tip of the iceberg, and it's been happening forever, and right. It's not going to stop.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a whole game getting there in the first place. Then once you're in there, of course, you got to spend, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for, you know, I had college debt forever. And I remember finally figuring out, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and do my major in this. And it was, you know, and I didn't go into that field, which, again, almost nobody does. I didn't go into that field, but they're like, yeah, but you still need to take a geology class. I'm like, I don't give a shit about rocks. And they're like, yeah, I know, but you still have to check off that box, right? So I had to spend thousands of dollars to take that. So you get all of that kind of stuff, right? Yep. So, and then, you know, the biggest pushback is still, yes, but you got to do that to get a good job. No, you don't. And most organizations now are actually being open to saying that. They're saying, we don't care if you have a college degree anymore. Show me that you have the skills. I get brought in specifically to many organizations because they have brought in all these college grads, and they're going, hey, these guys are just playing school. They're not good. Help us make them good. Teach them how to see their role in the role of the organization. How is it linked to the role of the organization, to the mission of the organization? We don't understand how to get them to do this. They're just playing school. They're raising their hand. They're looking for a rubric, right? It's messing mm-hmm. them up. So organizations are now being open saying, look, we just want the skill set. If you can show me the equivalent skill set, we're good. We don't care. Like it, unless there is a legal reason, you're going into medical field, you're going to be a lawyer, you know, engineering, a couple of those things. For almost anybody, it's probably a bad investment, especially if you're going to come out of there with debt. There are so many programs. Praxis, shout out to Praxis, Discover Praxis, such a smart organization.
What do they do?
That's a better. So it's essentially an intermediary. It's for people that don't want to go to college. They want to actually do something. So these young kids are like, now I'm going to forego college. I'm going to go into this program where I'm connected with other people around the globe. We're going to actually work on relevant skill sets right now. So we're going to learn how to write ad copy. We're going to learn how to create blog posts. We're going to learn how to create sales pitch. We're going to learn how to create a marketing campaign. We're going to learn relevant skills now mm-hmm. in Praxis, just like us. If new skills become relevant in 2 years, they'll add those. So will we, right? Like,
love it.
What's relevant now?
Right.
They learn those kind of skills, and then they're interviewing while they're building up their personal portfolio of work. They start interviewing with organizations around the world. They're connecting with people who are real movers and shakers in these industries virtually. And then they're going and interviewing, and they're actually working. They're doing a full-time apprenticeship at a real organization, taking on a real role, real responsibility, getting paid for that enough to actually outdo the cost of the program itself. So you come out debt-free. 95% of them are rolling straight into a full-time job at that wow. spot right there.
That's
debt-free,
amazing.
19, 20, 21 years old, ready to rock. We have a young lady that started with us as an apprentice, came over. Rocked it. And so she's now completely debt free, makes good money, works for us, has a job that I'll speak for her. She really enjoys, you know, it's great. They're
yeah, she so, gets and to hang out with you.
She gets to hang out with you. I mean, come on. Yeah, that's probably the least fair part of it because she's like, cool, man, can you get your head straight for just a second with your 40 things going on? But dude, she's got everything is great for her. She would not have had that had she come out of college. I wouldn't have even had looked at her.
Do you think that... It seems like, and again, this topic is becoming more and more, this narrative
sure.
is coming out, you know, and gaining some steam of this idea of disrupting this mm-hmm. education system mm-hmm. with amazing companies like that, with yeah. the Actons of the world.
Yeah.
What do you think it's really going to take to knock the big money off of, you know,
yeah.
these campuses and these colleges
yeah.
to at least get them off their axis and their heels?
So everybody's really kind of aware that the emperor wears no clothes, right? Like everybody gets it at this point. Mm-hmm. It's against that. It's the emotional versus the intellectual. So they get it, but they're still too afraid to buck the system. So it's going to be time. That's all it's going to be, that it's going to start to disrupt everything because you're going to see more and more people who are more and more, you know, these success stories that did not go that route. So you're already starting to see some of the smaller colleges are starting to collapse because they're not getting, you know, people there. You're going to have your universities, there's 5,000 or so in this country. You'll have your brands that'll stick around for a while, your Ivy Leagues, your Stanfords, your Berkeleys.
Mm-hmm.
They'll stay. The younger ones will, or, you know, and the smaller ones, like those will start to fold, or they'll merge to try to stay alive, right? But what you're seeing already, and I'm seeing it talking with some of these universities, is they're going, okay, what can we offer outside of just a traditional degree program? Can we do something like a Praxis in-house to stay relevant? Can we just put these certificate programs in place where you go in and you just specialize in a field of your choice, and then we help connect you to a job? Like, that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
That'll actually be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
We see universities, they're starting to shift towards that too. So it's just going to take time, right? And I liken this whole education revolution to CrossFit. Whether you like CrossFit or you don't, you know what it is,
mm-hmm.
right? And it started out as just kind of this small thing in Santa Cruz, and then somebody else opened a box over here. They stayed connected. They shared their success stories, started having people whose lives were being transformed, started getting into the best shape of their life, and more and more people wanted to join in with that. So now, whether you like them or hate them, everybody knows what CrossFit is, and you can still go in. Now you can go into your big boxes, your 24-hour fitness. You know,
they got their little section over
there.
And
they've got their little section
mm-hmm.
that now has CrossFit-style classes because people see, hey, it works.
Yep.
We're doing the same thing in education. Public education has no reason to change. There's so much money
mm-hmm.
there that really makes it more attractive not to change.
Yep.
But once we have so many disruptors that are out, they won't be able to deny it anymore. Even people in public ed are going to be like, look, we're going to demand more of a project-based learning. We're going to demand that we stop, you know, placating to these arbitrary grade levels that don't matter, and these, you know, stupid, you know, metrics of you got to do this at this time of your life. Otherwise, you're quote unquote behind. Like, they're going to start to demand that because they're going to see it so different in other places. That's yeah. what we're doing, but wow. it's going to take time.
Yeah. I love that, man. So many cool things. A few last questions for you with social media.
Yep.
And, you know, it being a positive tool, but
sure.
also a destructive tool
sure.
and suicide, you know, and depression rates skyrocketing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
criticism, people, you know, feeling attacked and bullied.
Yeah.
How do you see that? And how do you see people combating that and at least navigating the arena that
yeah.
we just, it's a fact. It's not going away.
It's not going away.
How do you recommend employers, entrepreneurs,
yeah.
youth?
Yeah.
You know, what's your take on it?
It's intentionality, man, around anything, like it would be around any other tool. Social media can be a phenomenal tool. We use it for business, right? Yep. I use it I use it more for business than anything else. Every once in a while, I'll do the scroll and check stuff out. It's pretty rare, but when I do, I'm only connected to people that what I'm seeing
yeah.
is cool. I'm
yeah.
learning something from them, or at least being like, hey, this is awesome. This is positive stuff.
Yep.
If I'm coming across somebody that's just taking a turn for the worse, it's a negativity kind of thing, and then I'm just going to disconnect from that. I'm going to make the conscious choice to do that. Because
yep.
if I'm going to spend some time on that, I want it to be time that's worth spending, you know? And so it's the intentionality around the tool. I am not scared of social media for my kids in the least. I've already had the conversations with them. Now they're not on it. They're too young. But once they're there, it's going to be the same thing. Look, this is how I use social media. Here's the good things about it. Here's what you'll use it for. And you're going to set parameters around it. I do the same thing. I have very specific times a day. This is the only time I'm going to allow myself to even check it and use it. And I'm disciplined around the fact that as soon as that time is done, I'm off and I'm done. It's creating that structure around it. It's creating those very specific, you know, I actually boil down my day to about 20-minute increments. We do the same thing with our kiddos at Acton. Like, you're mapping out your day and it's being intentional about that. So social media itself is not a bad thing. It's just we're not being intentional about it. Again, adults first.
Yeah.
And then they're not teaching kids. So they're blaming that on the suit. No, you're not setting your kids up with a mindset to not be depressed and not be, you're not letting them get outside anymore. You're not giving them good food. You're not giving them exercise, all the things that human beings actually need.
Right.
You're not doing any of that. You're sending them to these schools that are more socially constructed to be similar to a prison, more so than anything else in our society. So they've got to have this, you know, they have no power there. So they create these false social hierarchies so that you can have, like they do in prison, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can have power. You create your cliques. You look down on people that are younger. You automatically revere people that are older. You got these weird things that don't play out in society, right? And then we want to blame social media on the fact that they're depressed.
Yeah.
No, you're sending them to crappy places that's killing their mindset. You're feeding them garbage. And then you yourself are having these issues as a parent. Like, that's what's setting them up. People are going to get upset that I say this, but I'm really not worried about my kids battling the majority of things that we're seeing as really plaguing these youth, because we're taking, you know, we're just stacking the deck in their favor. Yeah. I'm not saying bad things are never going to happen.
Right.
I get that. But I want to stack the deck in their favor, the things that we know are positive choices.
And I just know from, you know, our friendship and getting to be around you, it's what you said, the intentionality about having space and creating space to have these discussions.
Yeah. Yep.
And to know, like, hey, at the end of the day, you could walk out there, someone could pull a gun on you and shoot you, or, you know, something bad can happen in any capacity, in any scenario of life.
Right.
And if we can talk about it and equip you with, you know, core values, responsibilities, disciplines, habits, characteristics that we think are going to, you know, weaponize you as a, whether it's an employee or a friend or a spouse or a kid, all you can do is conversate about it.
For sure.
Instead of demonize everything.
That's exactly it, man. My kids know, you know, of course I could go out. I could walk out of here right now today and get hit by a car. Could I? You bet. What are the chances of it? They're pretty low, because I'm going to walk out and I'm going to look and go, where are the cars?
Yep.
And if there's a car coming, I'm not going to walk in front of it, right? I'm going to be intentional about how I walk back to my own car so that I don't get hit by a car. Everything in life works out that way. Now, it's not necessarily always easy, but it usually is that simple. And that's what I mean about getting out of those emotional places and just getting to a place of logic and going, cool, what are the best choices right now? Getting in the habit of always operating out of that, being intentional about your time and what you're doing. And most of those things take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
So I'm really not, you know, I'm not worried about it in that fact for them. I'm
well,
really,
dude, if really people want to know more about Acton, obviously there's the MBA program.
Sure. Yeah.
There is
number one rated MBA program in the country.
And I got a couple buddies that have actually gone through it before I had even kind of heard about Acton.
Yeah.
They were, I'm in this MBA program and it's the best entrepreneurial.
For sure.
You know, some of these people are badass.
They're studs. Man, they're studs. It's the real deal. I mean, it is a true, it's a true test of you to go through that program. You're not playing the game, dotting I's and crossing T's of a traditional MBA. And we see that a lot. I see traditional MBAs that go in to take on these positions of leadership, and it's like, okay, now I actually have to learn how to run something.
Yeah.
I knew how to play the school of MBA.
Exactly.
And it's not translating, you know, very similar. Acton's MBA is very much like, no, man, you're in the trenches.
So there's Acton's MBA. Yep. There's Acton Academy for K-12.
Yes,
if anybody wants to get more information, check out what they're up to. I know you're a resource, obviously, for people.
100%. Yep.
Where can they check out more? Where can they get a hold of you? Follow what you're up to. You got your new podcast.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Yeah, which I'm excited to have you on. I think we're like next week.
Bro, you got some big names on that podcast too.
We got some good names coming up on that.
What's it called?
So it's the Essential 11. I think we got 6 or 7 episodes out now. We got about 50 people lined up and some killer entrepreneurs. We have some local to the Sac area, but then we got some that are national. Gary Vaynerchuk, Seth Godin, David Goggins, you know, if you're familiar with him. We got
Stay hard, baby.
Coming out, dude, 100%. Yeah, we got Dennis Prager. So we got a lot of people that are really on the national, you know, kind
Real
of spotlight,
quick,
but a lot of locals,
What
too.
Is the purpose? Why did you want to come out with that podcast?
Yeah, so it's the whole thing is I get to work with all of these youth, right? Not just the ones that I get to work with on a daily basis. I'm traveling the world and these companies are going, hey man, these young people were not connected. So we actually did a focus group, and it was a focus group of youth 13 to 22. And it was their top questions for operators, it's their questions for people who are actually doing things in the world. And I don't want to take those questions to all respect to professors and I don't want to take those to academics. I want to take them to operators.
Yeah.
Who's out there actually crushing it.
Yeah.
So it's these 11 questions. It's the operator's responses. It's their advice to the teens directly, the questions they want asked, answered. So yeah, and everybody's of course got their different take, you know, on it and their different spin on it. But we just get some beautiful, and selfishly, I get to learn something every single time from every single person. So it's not just 13 to 22 year olds that are finding value from it already, you know? So it's fun, man. It's cool.
It's amazing. It's really cool. Website, social media, where can they find out more information on Acton?
Yeah,
check out what you're up to.
For sure. I mean, I think if you're anywhere in the world, I would just go to actonacademy.org and look and see if there's somebody near you. Find out, you know, your nearest location. And if there's not one near you now and you're a batshit crazy entrepreneur that sees like, hey, this is actually what it should look like, I'm glad to help walk you through that process of like, maybe you need, let's look at starting your own too. I mean, I'm absolutely down for that. Obviously if you're anywhere near the Sacramento area, check out actonplacer.com, PLACER. And we can connect there too. But I mean, I'm glad to, this truly is, you know, this is my calling. This is how I'm changing the world. And I've got my location and we are going to blow it up around here, but I want people doing this around the world. I want to be, you know, it's a legacy thing at this point. I've got my kids dialed in. They're there at Acton Placer forever and we've got some good stuff going on and that's great. Now I want to get it for everybody.
It's amazing.
I want to get it for everybody. So
I heard this the other day of your passion plus your pain. So your passion for doing what you do and who you're serving and also the pain of knowing what
for sure
you stand against
for
in
sure.
public education and some
for
of the other things
sure.
equals your purpose. Your passion plus your pain
like
equals
that.
Your purpose.
I like that.
And I think you're just a walking, talking example of that.
Thank
I got
you,
so
brother.
Much respect for you
Thank
and
you,
not
brother.
Only how you operate
Mutual.
In business and what you're doing for our future generations, how you show up as a dad, a husband, you're an amazing friend. You're just an all around gangster, dude. So
thank you, brother. I appreciate
much
that
love
very
to
much.
You. My final
Feeling's
question
beautiful,
to you, brother, is you get to the end of your career.
Yeah.
30, 40, you know, 50 years down the road.
Yeah.
You look back, what do you say equals success if you've accomplished what you've accomplished on your path?
Yeah. You know what's awesome, man, is I could literally look back right now and I'm good.
Wow.
I literally am. I have no material thing that I want. I think I have been I don't question my integrity because I think that's really what we're looking back, right? You're looking back going either I regret that I didn't or gosh, I should have been a better person, right? I mean, those are the things that, and I've got neither of those. I can look myself in the mirror every day and know that I'm an honest, integrous person and I have no regrets on anything I've done. So now it's all a cherry on top, right? And I want to spend the next 30 years building a legacy. I'm shooting for the goal of going down as, you know, one of the greatest educators of all time in history. Like, I'm shooting for that. Why not?
Dude,
like, that's great.
And
like, that's
I believe
a great legacy.
You will accomplish that.
But I could, and that's absolutely the goal. But I could literally go right now and have zero regret.
That's how you know you're living big and living right.
That's
I mean,
it,
I always tell people, you know, my definition of success is I get to the end of my road and I look back and go, damn, that was a hell of a ride.
That, dude, 100%.
And I have no regrets. 100%. The highs, the lows, everything in between.
Totally.
I left it all out there and I can feel good about that. And, you know, your legacy, and I think this is a perfect example of, you know, it's all about the app. It's not all about the apples that you can eat. It's about the trees that you can plant. And
man, that's
the
it.
Trees that you're planting in
that
so many
it.
People's lives and so many communities, this ripple effect. I just got so much respect for you. So be
sure
to check out what Matt is up to. Matt Beaudreau. Appreciate
you,
man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you back.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview and got some massive value from it. Just one thing can completely transform the path that you are on. And if you did, be sure to share it with somebody else. Be sure to give this gift to somebody else that needs to hear this today. And also be sure to tag our guest to let them know what they shared was appreciated, that it impacted you in some way. If you haven't entered our monthly giveaway of over $1,100 in prizes each and every month, we pick one listener. Be sure to head over to go.millionairemindcast.com and check out all the amazing prizes in that contest and giveaway and enter yourself. Also, if you and I haven't connected yet, be sure to text me. You can text me at 844-447-1555. Yes, I answer and respond to every text individually. I personally love connecting with all the listeners of the show. I love hearing what big goals and what big dreams you're marching towards. And most importantly, I love knowing more about how I can support you. So if I haven't gotten to connect with you yet, don't be shy. I want to connect with you. I want to hear what you're up to. Text me at 844-447-1555. Last, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com to check out all the amazing free and paid products that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, from one-on-one coaching with me to courses from our guests, all kinds of free content and downloads, upcoming event info on how you can connect with us live in person at some of our events and workshops, and all kinds of other valuable free tools and resources to help you on your wealth building journey. Be sure to check all those out at therichlifeacademy.com. If you have any questions, just text me at 844-447-1555. But if you're truly serious about taking your life, your business, your wealth to the next level, you're not just looking to keep learning, but you want to start taking action and have accountability and support and a community around you, then getting involved inside our community and getting in proximity to other people just like you is going to be the accelerator you need to get to that next level. It's going to be an absolute must. You can do that over at therichlifeacademy.com. With that being said, until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to 2 million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.